Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil, John, and McKenna are back, and today we are starting a brand new series where we are going to dive into the defining episode of each player who is on Survivor 50. We're talking about 22 of them now. We will get to the 49ers after 49 airs when we determine what their episode is going to be. But I wanted to do this one with John and McKenna. They kind of came up with the idea, and it was like, this would be fun to do. And since they do the Survivor Rewind during the seasons, it feels like this is the perfect show for them to be doing to get us hyped for Survivor 50 as we figure out what the defining episodes are. Before I let them start speaking and everything here, I just wanted to say one little thing. We did decide to go just based on the first season each person played in. This way it narrowed it down a little bit easier, and we figured that would be a true rewind. So Jenna Lewis's episode, which is today's episode, we're only going to be talking about from Borneo. We didn't take All Stars into consideration, and that is the case for the remaining players who have played more than one season. But we chose Thy Name is Duplicity, which I have no idea why that episode is named that. I don't think it's actually said. This is episode 8 from season 1.
About, I think Sean has something about duplicity or something. It's like the aftermath of the merge vote, and they're like, whoa, an alliance.
Yeah, Sean doesn't say those exact words, though. I don't think Sean could string those words together. No offense to Dr. Sean here. But we chose this episode. So this is the episode where Jenna infamously does not get her loved one tape. But also there's a lot more that goes on in this episode, which I think could actually be very telling for how Jenna's going to play on Survivor 50. So there you go. 2-minute intro. McKenna, you got a sentence in. John's been mute. All right. What do you guys think? Go ahead. How do you want to do this?
Well, Phil, first of all, welcome to the Rewind. This is one of our favorite aspects of the Rewind, is just watching a random episode of Survivor and relating it to something. So now we have Survivor 50 and their future gameplay to look forward to. So glad to have you over here. John, do we want to just dive right into Jenna?
Yeah, Jenna Lewis is one of the most interesting players on this cast. Obviously, we needed that Borneo representation. And I'm really excited that it's Jenna. I know, Phil, you've been championing Jenna in all of this lead up to 50 here as someone who's really exciting to watch. And I'm right there with you, because this is someone we know is still at least keeping up with Survivor, and we know has maintained a level of Survivor knowledge that will help in this game. And as demonstrated in this episode, has always been very savvy when it comes to Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we saw in this episode that Jenna was like, all right, there's been a conspiracy here. There's four votes for Gretchen. It's got to be Tagi members, because we all voted our conscience. And she kind of is like, well, I've got to, you know, play on my feet now. And she kind of goes to all of the girls and tries to keep inroads with the women here to try and maybe keep, that's the way that keeps her alive or something like that. So she is definitely thinking about, how do I keep myself in the game? And for such the founding season of Survivor, that is, you know, pretty forward thinking when the votes for the last tribal council were go with your conscience. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, right? When you watch Borneo, you know, James Lim always called it a nature documentary, because you're like, what are you watching? And it's such a different show. I mean, even just watching for this series, we're going to alternate, for anybody who's wondering. We're going to go the earliest to the latest, and we'll do based on placement for the latest. So Kyle will be the next episode. But watching the episodes for this series and doing this one, doing the one we chose for Colby, doing the one we chose for Stephanie, the difference between this episode and what we did for Colby is night and day, because it's like a totally different show, and what they're talking about and how it's edited and everything like that. But Jenna right off the bat says, I think there's a Tagi alliance. Like you said, McKenna, she goes in and now is like, I'm going to try to make a women's alliance. And we see her really trying to navigate it and play a little bit of a game, but understanding that she's also not really in a season where they think they're playing a game. But it's Jervis, I think, who says about 15 times, well, if there's one more vote like that, then that means there's an alliance. It's like, well, if there's one more vote like that, you're down 4-3 and there's nothing you can do about it, because Dr. Sean's useless. So I love what Jenna does in this episode, how she is throughout and how her social game really comes to the forefront. And it shows that she is sharp, because I will make this argument now. Hatch had no shot. But out of every player from season one who has played again, and Hatch had no chance, so that's just whatever. She's the only one who actually played the game of Survivor when she came back. I don't even think Jervis did in Blood versus Water. Like, seriously, Jervis just kind of rides Tyson's coattails, and that's about all that happens. He plays more emotionally. He doesn't really play a Survivor game that we're used to seeing. Wigglesworth, we didn't see anything. Sue obviously quit so early in All Stars. I think Jenna might be the only one who played, and I think we see that in this episode, and this is really her coming out episode of, wow, she's somebody to take seriously, and that's why she ultimately goes home in the following episode, because Hatch is like, she's actually worrisome.
Yeah.
I think there's a very large argument that Jenna is the most sound strategic player on Pagong this entire season.
Oh, yeah.
Even, and I know some people might argue like Gretchen, and that's why Gretchen's targeted at the merge, but in this instance, we also get a moment from Jenna where she talks about Greg's demeanor completely changing since the merge happened. And that, I think, is what really benefits Jenna going into 50, is even all the way back 25 years ago, she was so socially aware that she figured out there was an alliance, started making a counter alliance as much as she could. Obviously, it doesn't work because Sue will never betray the Toggy alliance, but she's also just noting, hey, the people I have been working with are acting differently. And it's not differently like against her in any way, but it's just differently in a way where she can't really work with Greg anymore because he's just, you know, spending too much time with Colleen at this point.
And he's also now spending time with Rich, which he is like, either she thinks he's like playing Rich because Rich thinks he's cute. It's really, she has a great social awareness and like awareness of dynamics, which will really help her moving into this like next generation of Survivor, because she was already on an upper foot in a game that really had no strategy to stand on aside from the Toggy alliance was Borneo's strategy.
I mean, the things that she says in this season, it sounds like she's actually talking about game and she's talking about Survivor and she's talking about how to make strategic moves. Mm-hmm. Nobody else was doing that aside from Hatch when he created the alliance, and then everybody just lumped in. So then Sue starts talking about, you know, I'm not going to betray this, I'm not going to betray that. But Sue's only saying that because she's even a part of it because of Hatch. Like, Jenna's the only other one who truly is talking strategy. And I think also, like, she was so young on this season. I think she was 22 years old when she played the first season. And you see that youth, but then you also see, like, because she has kids at such a young age, like that determination and kind of like that maturity that's a little bit beyond her years, because we see it like when she doesn't get the video, her breakdown and everything, and then she goes out and now she's determined she's going to keep shooting the bow and arrow and everything like that. And then she goes and runs an obstacle course and just finishes second to Jervis. And I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, she's older now. Well, challenges aren't as physical as they used to be, and she's older now, but she's still younger than half the cast. So I feel like she's also like, that was another thing that impressed me, was she's a lot more physical on this season than I remember. And again, we've seen pictures of Jenna Lewis not too long ago. You know, like, Jenna doesn't look that much different. It's not like she's out of shape. So she could actually be, dare I say, a triple threat on this season. And then with a lowered threat level, she might actually be one of the more dangerous players.
Yeah. And we never really think about this aspect of Jenna because we have this reward challenge where she doesn't get the loved one's videotape from home. And that is kind of her overarching storyline in all of Survivor, is she's the one who didn't get the tapes. But we see even just in this one episode where she doesn't get the tapes, she does have a lot more character to her than just this one moment. And it was really great to watch this episode back and really focus on Jenna and see, oh, she really is playing the game, because you don't think about that. You focus on the Toggy Four and their path to the end. And it was really great to kind of shift my focus to someone different while watching.
I think it's very good for Jenna that this is her big moment. Like, yes, when we look at All Star, she has the whole like, let's go after the winners thing, and she's arguably an immunity challenge away from winning that entire season. But I think when people think Jenna Lewis, and that's why this episode is what we decided was her defining episode, they think about this moment of this young single mother in 2000. Technology is not what it is nowadays, so people might not remember, but the fact that she is the only one not to get this tape from home, and she is so high on just like needing to see her daughters. We see it prefaced before the challenge about this idea of like the photos that they brought, and it's all Jenna wants is to be able to see the photos that she brought of her daughters. And that heartbreak of Jeff revealing, sorry, Jenna, like, they didn't send a video. Like, we tried. We didn't send it.
And was bawling.
And it is a heart-wrenching moment. It's a very, honestly, it almost feels more like a new era moment for Jenna than a, but obviously it's like the retro era of all retro moments, right? But this is a someone who has gone through this adversity, and she's shown as so strong in this moment, but so weakened by this absence of family. And I think that's going to really benefit her because it overshadows all of the strategy talk that happens in this episode.
Well, and I think the thing that really helps her too is, like, you know, when we do other episodes for this series, we're going to get into, you know, what is Stephanie's defining moment? And it kind of does get into what her gameplay is like, Colby's defining moment. I mean, I think the episode we chose for that really shows Colby's whole entire three season arc and how he's coming into his fourth season of playing. The thing with Jenna is, like, she's a totally different person on All-Stars, but All-Stars is the Boston Rob and Amber season. So even though she's the one who comes up with, we got to get rid of the winners, and goes after Tina first and wants to go after Ethan, but ultimately decides, okay, Rudy should go because he's too bad at the challenges. When I look at how Jenna, like, this being her big moment, everybody will remember that she didn't get the video. Like, if you were to do your quick research, if you found out you're going to be on 50, you found out Jenna Lewis is going to be there, you do your quick homework, you're going to be like, okay, she didn't get her video. That's right. I remember that. You're not going to remember anything else from the episode. And I think when you think about these other episodes that we chose, which Stephanie as a tribe of one, Colby and the Jerry episode, you know, Kyle's move on Shaheen, which is going to be really fresh in everybody's mind, everybody is going to remember, like, what took place in that entire episode. Mm-hmm. That's not the case here, because ultimately Greg goes home. It's a member of her tribe. Her vote does not matter. I mean, honestly, I turned Tribal Council off. There was no reason for me to watch Tribal Council because by that point I knew it didn't matter. And it's like, there's nothing there for anybody to grasp onto. And if you watch the next episode, she goes home. So it's just kind of like whatever. And it's a tough, I don't know. It's going to be easy for her because it's going to be tough for other people to really see how good she is at the things that she is good at. If you watch just Borneo.
There's a moment in this episode where Jervis, I believe it's right after he wins the immunity challenge, and he says that Jenna is his biggest threat out there because she's the only other person who is a single parent.
Great minds think alike, Jim.
And it goes to show, like, this archetype that's fitting in there. And obviously you think about a single parent in 2000, goes out there, it sits at the end, probably gets some votes to win the game. And again, these are, like, the little strategies in Borneo that are big. Jenna's coming back as a much older parent now, married, and a very different woman than she was back in Borneo. But everything that was a threat for her in Borneo still exists to this day, 25 years later.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people now were turning on Jenna because she was going to get the sympathy vote at the end. And we've seen Jeremy not want to say Val's pregnant because he wants to save the sympathy vote for the end, because that could be looked at as a target moving forward. So Jervis was right to call this out, basically. And then the rest of Pagong votes for her this episode. Jervis voted for her because she misses her kids. Greg voted for her because the first time because paranoia, second time irritation, and then third time his ear infection cleared up.
So I love that, but then that contrast to Sue, right, who in this episode says, I really like Jenna. I thought she was going to drive me nuts, but she doesn't. I think that's the other thing that people kind of miss with Jenna. Jenna can be loud and Jenna can be annoying, but Jenna's also very personable. Mm-hmm. And that's really going to help here too, because she's a little bit of an unknown. She doesn't have the whole, like, watch party culture of, oh, you've met me a million times. She might be somebody who's refreshing for these people on the island, because yeah, Greg can have his joke and it's funny, but it's like Sue likes her, and Sue and Jenna, you would never think in a million years would ever get along with one another. So I just think that that's also a very interesting little tidbit there of who could Jenna maybe associate with, or does she see herself in any of the younger players who are out there? I know there's not that many. Nobody's really daughter age for Jenna on this season. Mm-hmm. I think maybe Savannah, maybe Camilla, but I think that's literally it. And even they're pushing it, because I think that would mean 18 years old, which I think Jenna was around there when she had her kid. But still, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not much of a gap between her and even the youngest women on the season.
No, and I think actually her having daughters might even make it easier for her to connect with the younger side of this cast in general, too.
Yeah, I mean, her. It'll also be a switch in her role in the seasons, too, because in Borneo and in All-Stars, she was the youngest on her tribe. So...
She's youngest on this season in Borneo.
Season in Borneo tribe in All-Stars. And so now she's, you know, not going to be looked at as the youngest of something, where she has that maturity on her side to be, you know, more of a leading figure, which she saw Gretchen as. And then they voted her off. And she said, well, if you vote me off soon, I'll wear it as a badge of honor, because you're voting out people who are threatening. And if I'm threatening to you.
Yeah. And I know this doesn't really have much to do with this episode in particular, but I think Jenna also has the advantage of, she played on two seasons where the whole thing was like, keep your threat level low. And that didn't work for her in Borneo, because by the time she realized she had to keep her threat level low, it's the next episode and she gets voted out. Yeah. But then in All-Stars, she realized, like, I got to keep my threat level low, get rid of the bigger threats. If she can play with that same mentality coming into 50, like, she's got a lot of options for season 50 for sure.
What I'm really interested in seeing, Jenna, and what I think this episode really exemplifies, is one of the issues with Borneo is not everyone's playing the game strategically. Just by the fact that the rest of the Pagongs vote for Jenna in this episode proves they're not thinking strategically. Yeah. And in All-Stars, right, like, yes, there's some strategy in there, but it's also like a very obvious strategy of go with this pair who's clearly inseparable now and ride it to the end. I am so interested to see how Jenna approaches a game where people are actually playing with strategy. Yes, there are going to be people out there like Colby who might not know what's going on, but she is going to be out there, and we're probably going to see Jenna playing the game for the first time, really. Like, yes, she played in All-Stars and she played really well. She's actually going to get to play Survivor full on with this cast, and she is going to demonstrate what is being talked about in this episode. Jenna was such a threat that in Greg's episode, Greg, who ended up being one of like the primary characters of Borneo, she is still mentioned more and more as a threat in this game for an episode before she goes in this season than the person who goes, who is this massive character.
And not only will she be playing it full on, she'll be playing now with idols, advantages, people who have more strategic bones in their body, social game, physical, like the whole nine yards is all shoved into season 50 now.
Yeah, it is. I know. And so, yeah, I think that, look, Borneo is a hard one to say Jenna's going to be great, right? Like, when we talk about Thy Name is Duplicity, I mean, we've dragged this for 20 minutes. It's not going to be the case when we start talking about some of the strategy and, you know, social moments that we see in other seasons. But, you know, Jenna's got the game. And I said, I've said this on so many podcasts at this point. Jenna's the best choice. She is the best choice from season one. She really is. And I think that this episode has little bits of everything. And if you're like rusty on Jenna right now, I guess that's kind of the point of this series. If you don't want to watch a whole season and you're rusty on Jenna and you can't find a highlight video on YouTube, go watch Thy Name is Duplicity. And honestly, watch the next episode too, when she gets voted out, because she's strategic in that one. And her, Jervis, and Colleen actually vote together. And you actually see adaptability, which is going to be very key on season 50 for sure. So anything else about Jenna's episode here before I close this one out?
She's a queen. Can't wait to watch her play.
There you go. I love it. Well, like this video, subscribe to the channel. Let us know also if you think we got the right episode for Jenna here. Again, we're only taking into consideration the first season of each of these players. So don't be like, well, her best one's actually the premiere of All-Stars. Great. That has nothing to do with what we're doing. We're trying to go based on just the first season, since so many players only played once. And ultimately, the first season is what made these players come back for their next season, right? So I think that's why we want to be talking about this first season as well. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, leave us a comment, and we will see you next time when we talk about the winner of Survivor 48, Kyle, and Icarus time. Bye, everybody.